When people say the name Adolf Hitler, yeah, people go, ah, lovely. But they don't really know. They get this vision of a man in a funny hat, funny uniform with his arms stuck up and a moustache. But it really doesn't mean anything these days. It means ogre. It means something horrible, something nasty. But what is he like? What was he like? Well, okay, with me is a woman that perhaps can answer it a little better than others, because she, during the course of her life, has met Adolf Hitler. How she met him, heaven alone knows, but she'll tell us. She is Helga Gerhardt. Gerhardi. Is that how I say it? Gerhardi.
I have a soft G. Gerhardi.
Gerhardi, thank you. Helga Gerhardi. And your book is Helga, The Continuing Story. It's before me now. And I suppose the thing that most people would be interested in asking you, first of all, is how did you come to meet Adolf Hitler? I'm sure it wasn't a party you were at together, so...
No, and I had no invitation either. It was just by accident that I met Hitler. I described that actually in my first book. You mentioned this man, and it is mentioned again in here too. I was about 13 years old, and I lived in East Prussia. And Hitler used to travel around the different towns. And on this particular day, when he came to our town, which was Königsberg, I didn't belong to the Hitler Youth, so I could do other things. And I'd been to my piano lesson. When I came out, the roads were full of people, of course, all waiting for Hitler to come through with his cavalcade. But I had to cross the road. And wanting to do that, I had to look around, because they wouldn't let me cross the road, because the Hitler Youth stood in the front and pushed all the people back. I was a good runner, so I thought, well, if I can just squeeze through, surely he's not going to come round the corner or anything just now. But I'm afraid I got caught. I only got halfway across the road when the cavalcade came round the corner. And there was Hitler in the car. And of course, I was absolutely petrified. And I stopped, because his name, even to me, who was Swiss, meant a great deal. And then an SS man came towards me and he said, "You got flowers in your hand." And I said, "Yes, they're for my father." So he looked at me. But he just pulled me along to Hitler, and he said, "You can give the Führer these flowers." Well, I'm afraid my arm just came up, you know, and I gave him the flowers. He didn't say thank you. He just looked at me. He had very cold eyes. And all he said was, "You are not in Hitler uniform." I said, no, I'm not German, I'm Swiss. Well, I don't know whether he heard me or not, because people were shouting and screaming and so on, you see. And then the SS man pulled me away and he said, that's fine. You can go to the other side of the road now. So I just ran away. But when I came home, my father was very concerned, because he was afraid it would come in the paper. He said somebody might have taken a photograph, and it wouldn't be very nice for a Swiss girl to give Hitler some flowers. But it didn't come in the paper, so...
So you were all right?
Yes, I was all right, and my father wasn't cross.
What was that part of Germany like at that time? In that Hitler, there's no escaping it, whatever the German people say today, at that time Hitler was very much the saviour, certainly in public perception.
Oh, he was, because you see, the situation in Germany was very, very bad after the First World War. There was a lot of unemployment, and the moment Hitler came to power, people had jobs. All the young people had to go into the Hitler Youth. There was no crime. They were all busy. They had to go to their meetings. And they did a lot of good things too. They helped old people. They collected paper and old iron and this sort of thing. Hitler was the saviour, but of course he needed money. So he took it from the Jewish people. Jewish people disappeared. He had money. He built the Autobahn. There was work. And particularly the young people adored him, because in the meetings they had, he was portrayed as the father of the nation. He had to be loved. And those young people, because they loved him when the war broke out, they died for him until towards the end they realized it wasn't just what they had dreamt of. It was different. And then things changed.
As a Swiss person, there must be the ability to look at the rest of Europe and say, you know, just look on in despondency at the futility of nation fighting nation while Switzerland sits there in its impartial mountains.
Well, it does to a certain extent. The only difference is that I grew up in Germany. You see, I was born near the Lithuanian border, and I didn't go back to Switzerland until after I was a refugee, you know, in front of the Russians. So I had never had that sort of security until later on. So I think, although being Swiss and my father tried to isolate us, I don't think I think quite the same, because I wasn't as secure as all my Swiss compatriots and so on. You see, I didn't have that.
So you didn't have the sort of childhood in a neutral
no,
land?
No,
the
childhood I didn't.
In a very aggressive, and at that time, oppressed land, Germany.
We had quite a frightening childhood, because see, once the war broke out, we had searches by the SS because we were foreigners, and whenever they had to hang the swastika flag out, we didn't, and we always then everybody could see that, and people used to say, "Why haven't you got your flag out?" So my father said, "Well, I can't very well put a Swiss flag out. You wouldn't like that, would you?" And of course, it was.
That's interesting, because often that must have taken a deal of courage from your father.
But
what did you think of that as a youngster?
I don't think we felt it so much, because see, we spoke the same language.
I think that's the point I was seeking, really, because there you are, a youngster living with your peers, and as far as you're concerned, you're the same as everybody else. That's how youngsters think. And there's your dad, being awkward, as it were.
Yes, well, that is quite true. But I think he was able to instill in us some pride of being different, and he used to point out, you know, look, there's Switzerland, and one day we will go back, probably. But of course, he didn't want to go back, because he had his business. And I mean, you just don't turn your back on your income and walk out.
Indeed.
Do you? I mean, he had a dairy business, and even that flourished during the war, because everybody wants butter and cheese, don't they? I mean, you want food. And it wasn't too bad for us during that time, because we always had enough food.
You've had other privations, as it were, other than just being German. I mean, your son caused you a deal of
difficulty. That is really the description in my second book, because after I finished the first one, I finished it at the moment when we returned to Switzerland again. And I got a lot of fan mail, and people said, "How did you learn to speak English? And why did you write your books in English and not in German?" And then I decided I ought to write a follow-up, which now has just been published. And in it, I describe my life in Switzerland, which wasn't all that good, coming back as a refugee with nothing, because we lost everything in Germany. And then how I came to England and got married. And unfortunately, I had a handicapped child. My other son had cerebral palsy, which was quite a fight to eventually get him into a school and some kind of education, because when he was 18 months old, they decided that he ought to go into home, because he would never talk or never walk. And I just felt that was wrong, because I could see there was some kind of intelligence in that baby. And it was very hard for me, because I had to learn a new language. I had a very good husband, but he had to go to work, and I was very lonely at times to go to the authorities and try, with my poor English in those days, to explain that I knew that this child was intelligent enough to do something else.
And when was that? What years was that?
Well, 1949, 50, 51, because that's when he was very young. He was born in 49. And I was successful. I did find somebody who eventually got him on his legs, although I had to do exercise with him day after day for years. And I've also found a very good school, which was run by the Spastic Society, and he boarded there. And he eventually even did O-levels and became a computer expert. And to tell me at 18 months that this child would never do anything, if I had let them take him away into a home, he probably wouldn't. He would have never done anything, because he wouldn't have had the chance. And I felt in my second book I ought to stress that, to give encouragement to other parents. Don't give up. There is very often more in your child, and you know sometimes better than the doctors, because you have that child with you all the time. They only see a child for 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, and then they make a decision.
I asked you the time that all this was going on, because it seems to me to be relevant. They were with what I'll describe as a Germanic accent, trying to get the state of a nation that's just had a very bloody war with Germany to help you? Did your accent cause you any difficulties? And by that, I mean not the foreignness of it, but the Germanness of it.
Yes. I don't think I ever had a very sharp German accent. I have got an accent, but...
But to the likes of me, which is the rest of the United Kingdom,
I tried to point out then that I was Swiss, and it did help. Mm. It did help, yes. I must admit, there were objections because of Germany, but I don't blame them. I mean, I only have to look at London. I saw that, what happened there, I mean, the way it was bombed. Mm. But Germany was just the same.
Oh, indeed. I wasn't suggesting that any such prejudice would be the right thing.
It wasn't really. Yes, yes. Yes, I did have that. But I went to classes and really tried hard to learn the language. It was important to me that my children wouldn't pick up too much of my accent.
It sounds a fine accent to me. Anyway, the book is called Helga. It's the second of two. It's the autobiography of Helga. And I'm going to say the name correctly this time. I'm going to try anyway. It is Helga Gerhardi. I'm nearer. I'm getting close. I'll settle for getting close. It's in the shops now. Thank you very much indeed.